While millions knew him as the sarcastic, lovable Chandler Bing, Matthew Perry was fighting a battle that nearly killed him multiple times. His memoir isn't just another celebrity tell-all, it's a raw, unflinching account of a man who had everything the world could offer, yet was dying inside. Even Elton John called it the most important memoir of our generation about the disease that affects millions. Perry's journey through the heights of fame while battling the depths of addiction offers a rare glimpse behind Hollywood's glossy facade. How can someone be so beloved by millions yet feel so empty inside? The answer lies in Perry's lifelong struggle with what he calls the big, terrible thing, an addiction that began before he could even form memories. At just 30 days old, Perry was prescribed phenobarbital, a major barbiturate for colic. Baby photos show him completely fucking zonked, nodding like an addict at 7 weeks. This foreshadowed a lifetime of substance abuse that would nearly destroy him, even as he achieved extraordinary success. Perry traces his struggles to his earliest childhood. His father left when he was 9 months old, handing baby Matthew to his grandfather at the Canadian border before pursuing acting in California. With a 21-year-old mother way too young to parent, Perry quickly became the caretaker in their relationship. This role solidified at age 3 when he lost the tip of his middle finger in an accident. Finding his sobbing mother at the hospital, little Matthew stood on the gurney and comforted her. "You don't need to cry. I didn't cry." Even then, Perry was becoming the performer, the people pleaser, taking on the role of man of the house despite his own trauma. With his mother working as press secretary for Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, Perry became a latchkey kid who developed humor as a survival mechanism. His abandonment issues manifested in asking his grandmother if his mother was on passing planes. Meanwhile, his father called every Sunday and appeared more in TV commercials than in Perry's life, becoming the Old Spice guy, whose image in ads with another family was never very funny to young Matthew. At 14, Perry had his first drink with friends in his backyard. While others vomited around him, Perry experienced a revelation lying in the grass. "For the first time in my life, nothing bothered me. The world finally made sense. He felt complete. This is the answer," he thought. "This must be how normal people feel all the time." This moment revealed his anhedonia, an inability to enjoy anything unless pursuing excitement or intoxication. Though he didn't immediately become a regular drinker, the die was cast. By 15, with home life deteriorating despite loving his new half-sisters, Perry moved to Los Angeles to live with his father. In L.A., Perry's tennis dreams quickly evaporated against superior, bronzed Californian gods. When someone mentioned people get paid to act, he pivoted careers, a natural extension of his habit of delivering killer lines for attention. 3 weeks into his new school, he landed the lead in Our Town. His father, sensing his path, left him a book called Acting with Style, with the inscription, "Another Generation Shot to Hell. Love, Dad." When the script for Friends began circulating, Perry immediately felt a deep connection to Chandler Bing, the sarcastic, self-deprecating character whose humor masked his insecurities. 3 weeks before his audition, Perry had made a desperate prayer. "God, you can do whatever you want to me. Just please make me famous." This prayer would prove both blessing and curse. Friends premiered on September 22, 1994, and immediately began its ascent to television history. At 25, Perry found himself at the center of a cultural phenomenon, earning $22,500 per episode in the first season, eventually rising to $1 million. But as his professional life soared, his personal demons intensified. By season 3, Perry was deep in addiction. His appearance throughout the series revealed his struggles. Heavy meant alcohol. Skinny meant pills. A goatee signaled heavy pill use. His weight fluctuated dramatically between 128 and 225 pounds. Perry needed 55 Vicodin daily just to avoid withdrawal, his life revolving around doctor visits, fake migraines, and finding corrupt nurses. Perry's addiction nearly killed him multiple times. The most dramatic incident occurred on July 19, 2019, when his colon exploded from opioid abuse, putting him in a coma for 14 days. Doctors gave him a 2% chance of survival. The irony wasn't lost on Perry. Opiates cause constipation, so he was literally full of shit to the point it almost killed him. His addiction has cost him enormously. Financially, $7 million trying to get sober. Physically, 14 surgeries leaving his stomach a topographical map of China. Emotionally, countless broken relationships, and professionally, missed opportunities in Hollywood. He's been to rehab 15 times and detoxed over 65 times. Perry describes addiction as not just cunning and powerful, but patient. When you admit you have a problem, addiction retreats temporarily, waiting for you to lower your guard. It's doing one-armed push-ups outside while you're in meetings, growing stronger. The moment you think you don't need meetings anymore, it returns with renewed force. Perry's addiction struggles were deeply connected to his relationship patterns. He habitually pursued unavailable women, a tendency rooted in his relationship with his mother, who is captivating but emotionally inconsistent. Perry became addicted to the turn, that moment when he could make a distant woman desire him, only to withdraw once they became emotionally available. His relationship with Julia Roberts illustrates this pattern perfectly. Their romance began with witty faxes before her friend's appearance and blossomed into something genuine. Yet when the relationship deepened, Perry's insecurity surfaced, leading him to end things abruptly in April 1996, despite Roberts' clear commitment. This reveals Perry's fundamental paradox, a deep longing for connection paired with an overwhelming fear of abandonment. His addiction and fear reinforced each other. He needed substances to handle emotional intimacy, which ultimately destroyed the very connections he desperately wanted. Today, Perry has found purpose in helping others with addiction, transforming his struggle into a mission of service. When someone asks for help quitting drinking and he witnesses the light return to their eyes, that's God to him, a moment of divine connection through shared healing. At 52, Perry finds peace watching the ocean from his patio. Its vastness calms him and fills him with gratitude for his journey. He surrendered to the winning side, no longer battling substances. Life now means moving forward with curiosity instead of fear. The one thing he got right was never giving up. Martin Sheen once told him that St. Peter asks those at Heaven's Gate, "Don't you have any scars?" And when they say no, he asks, why not? Was there nothing worth fighting for? Perry's scars, both physical and emotional, prove he fought for his life against overwhelming odds, and somehow he's still standing.